Dear Ben, I think I have the space in which to write you. My children are in bed, the house is quiet, the fire burns low. I realized, being with you, how used I am to wide spaces around me, not as mother, but me, myself, because Jack never ventures near. I told you, remember, that I had to have at least 5 minutes away from you. Our intensity, which I cherish and which feeds me, also unnerves me. I live with a man who never asks me what I'm thinking. All this time, I've been burning away inside, in the midst of such space, lonely space, most of the time, unnoticed. Jack rarely even looks at me. I mean looks. To be with you, our looking and greeting, it overwhelms me. I think it takes a kind of courage to encounter each other the way we do. I wrote in my diary after we met that you apprehended me. To apprehend, understand, comprehend, recognize, appreciate, discern, a feeling I've never had before. Many of my dreams are about masks and costumes, performances and audiences, and, of course, losing and finding jewelry. Trying to experience again our time together, I have to loosen the barbed wire I keep fastened around myself. It is several months after the writers' conference. I have talked on the phone with Ben, seen him again, and told Jack about him. I had dragged Jack to marriage counseling even before I went to the writers' conference. Being sober, it seemed impossible to me to stay married to someone whose relationship with beer was more important than his relationship to me. I knew it before I met Ben, but now I see it even more clearly. We're in our kitchen, and snips of Jack's golden hair, it really is golden, a natural blonde with streaks of a warm honey color, float down to the scuffed linoleum kitchen floor as I cut it with the sharp small scissors I use for sewing on buttons. Now Jack says, "I guess this is the last time you're going to cut my hair," in a tone of voice that shows me he's making kind of a joke of it, not wanting to feel whatever it is he is feeling. What I am feeling is disbelief that this scene of domestic comfort and intimacy is just brutal, the air in our kitchen heavy with loss, as if the snips of golden hair falling to the floor are the hopes I had once of a happy family with Jack and with Matt and with Jack's and my daughter, 2.5-year-old Lucy, who's watching the haircut, sitting on a short wooden stool I sometimes use for her to stand at her old white ceramic sink for water play. Matt, 11, is at a friend's. I told Jack last night that I'm leaving, that I am, with the children, moving to Illinois to live with Ben. But Jack would not let Matt come with us, and Matt said he did not want to come. At first, I thought it might be better for Matt to stay with Jack, to whom he was so attached. But after 6 months of visiting back and forth and seeing how impossible it was to be missing Matt, to be apart from him, and for him to be apart from me, worried about Jack's drinking, I went back to New Hampshire, renting a small red clapboard house within walking distance of my old house. It should not be up to Matt to decide where he would live. In our divorce proceedings, Jack and I got into a custody battle over Matt. From that little red house, I could also visit my best friend Rachel, who was getting sicker and sicker with breast cancer. I had to be near Matt. I wanted to be, and glad that I could be near her, too. But I was far away from Ben. I wrote him, "Oh, love, I'm homesick and lonesome. The sun slants in my window, and the bed looks warm. I think of our bedroom, of Lucy's, and the storytime corner, of my material objects, some of them loved, all of them seeming home, and of you, and your quiet presence, and your hands. However are we to resolve this? However to be happy? The solution seems self-evident and clear until the next one replaces it." I think, of course, I have to stay here. Then I think, of course I can't stay. I have to go back there right away. I think, of course, you and I are meant for each other. Then, of course, I am in too big a hurry. I think, of course, I could live apart from Matt. Then, of course, I could not. Tonight it was so quiet, and Lucy said she missed you, then that she wanted to go home. And I, where is that, Lucy? Feeling the same way myself. Then she said, let's put our arms around each other, Mommy. We did, and I rocked her, and she jumped up and said, how do you spell Ben? And made me show her. Poor little thing, poor little mite, poor Matt, poor me and you, poor everybody. She sits in a rocking chair, sucking her thumb and looking out the window. The sight of her fills me with gladness. She said thoughtfully, where did the nighttime go? And last night, while we were reading Babar, I'm not old, I'm new. When I was with you, I spent time missing here, so much time missing here, so that now I can't be torn apart missing there. Anyway, it's not a question of the city or town, but of our lives together, the children, work, friends, cooking dinner, and just us and our talk and our touching. I feel an inability right now to bind myself completely to you. I feel like a piece of taffy being pulled in many directions the past year. If I tell you you crowd me, it's that I can't bear the weight of your needs and desires and demands on me, as well as the children's. And everything seems so heavy on me, I want to break loose of it. I feel I will be devoured by you and them, and there will be nothing left for me of myself. And some of it, too, is that I bound myself to two husbands for all these years of my growing up, and neither time did it work. I don't have the strength sometimes to try again. I don't have the strength right now. I hope I will in time. Don't fret and fuss over me. Hold me loosely. Don't squeeze me to death. I cannot put everything right for everybody, much as I would like to. Yet it is the quality of your attention to me, your love for me, that I want, too. Be my friend. And we'd better quit saying, I want. It invites suffering. The other good thing I thought of last night, after our long talk, which left me lonely and missing you and feeling bereft and frustrated, was this. I built a little fire and sat down in front of it with the AA big book and said aloud to myself, you needn't feel that life is going on without you. You must live your own life right now and build your own life in the present. That's what it's all about. Not pining always for something else, or you'll always be pining for something, even if Ben and Matt are both with you. And I felt it to be true, and felt it has taken me a long time to learn it, and felt in the company of a good friend with the AA big book, sitting there by myself.